Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and wow, what a show, which almost felt like a go-home show to talk about tonight. We're going to get into all of it. We might have to do a little bit more of an abridged version than usual, just because it is late. I got home super late from work today. I still have 400,000 things to do, but don't you worry, guys. Next week's review show, hopefully going to have a co-host. Hopefully that co-host is going to be the Ashley Mann, because I will be at Grand Slam in New York. I am so excited, and you're probably going to hear me tweet or you're probably going to hear me talk about that a lot. Or tweet about it a lot, I'm going to be talking about it a lot. So, anyways, but I wanted to get a live perspective and a at-home TV viewing perspective. I feel like that's usually for the best, and if we can do that, why not do that? So we're going to do that next week, but this week we still have a whole bunch to get into. Like I said before, we're going to start with the Adam Cole debut match in AEW, and we're going to get all the way down to that tag team match that ended the show. So, with all that being said, guys, let's get right into it. And it is really time for a new intro there, but just speaking of time, I seem to not have any of it left anymore. So as soon as I can, I will get on that and we'll have a little bit more of an updated thing going on, because there's some stuff in there that just, I don't know, doesn't apply anymore, isn't a thing anymore. For example, the Pinnacle. The Pinnacle is shit now. And speaking of shit, man, did we hit our shit quota on Dynamite last night. There were a lot of shit being thrown out left and right, and right now we just hit our very own shit quota here on the unofficial WWE podcast, so you will hear no more shit out of me besides that last one. And as we go down and I recap some stuff, I will try to leave all the shits out of it. So with all that being said, guys, let's get right into this show. We started off with the CM Punk entrance, the diving into the crowd. Oh, it's just good time to be a wrestling fan, isn't it? It's a good time to be an AEW fan, for sure. It is a good time to be a Punk fan. Just great all night on commentary. You know, he's CM Punk right now. He's kind of the child who can do no wrong at this point. I really enjoyed the, I don't like a four-man booth. Really, a three-man booth pushes it for me, but because JR is JR and Tony Schiavone is not nearly as present, I guess, on the commentary table as... It doesn't feel like a three-man booth all the time. I love Excalibur. I put over Excalibur on the show all the time. I think he does an amazing job. And everybody loves Tony Schiavone, obviously, and JR is a legend. So I understand the concept. However, I'm not a fan of a three-man booth, and I got way off topic here. My whole point being was that although it was a four-man booth, I thought it was an effective four-man booth, and it was a fun little change and a nice dynamic to have CM Punk on commentary. It was one of the things I was absolutely looking forward most to on this show. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I'm sure there will be things that he said that were great that I don't mention. So here's my broad take on CM Punk on commentary for the whole two-hour show. I really enjoyed it. I'm sure there were things he said that was stupid too, but you try to do commentary, you know? So with all that being said, yes, CM Punk entrance, and then we got the debut in the ring, obviously, of Adam Cole, faced Frankie Kazarian, and ended up getting the victory over Frankie Kazarian in a match that we all probably saw that result coming. However, I thought this match had some pros and some cons. That's not a good way to put it. Let me put it this way. Some things that... I'm just going to say how I feel about the match, because I can't find a way to put it. This was nice in its timing, right? That it didn't go very long. However, if it did go longer, it actually might have had more of an opportunity to be an even better match. And get us some more near falls for Frankie Kazarian and make it feel like a little bit more of a, that the result was in doubt. However, because of the length of the match, it was very, very clear that the result was not in doubt. So, with that being said, though, with the length of the match being shorter, it was kind of nice because it didn't outstay its welcome. So, it could have gone either way. There were pros and cons to both. That's, I guess, what I was trying to say. And the work was great. The work was solid, you know, B-plus stuff. It wasn't your typical, like, you know, biting nails, awesome AEW opener, but it definitely did its job to get, I mean, really, realistically, the crowd did its job to get me fired up into this entire 2 hours. But I think Adam Cole coming out, the entrance was electric, the Bay was electric, and then afterwards, having Frankie Kazarian come out, and honestly, guys, they killed Frankie Kazarian with the loss to Doc Gallows. We are seeing the repercussions of a really stupid decision, and I don't understand why they did that. I don't know if they needed to meet a quota with, like, Impact, some Impact guys had to get a win, or I don't know what was going on, but really, it really killed the whole Elite Hunter gimmick for me. Frankie Kazarian lost all his credibility, because he lost to a guy who takes 2 bumps a year. Just an unnecessary loss. So I did want to quickly mention that. But with all that being said, Frankie Kazarian in the ring is just exactly why they had him in his debut match against Christian, exactly why they put him in this spot here as well. Fundamentals, obviously perfect, right? But the guy is like a perfect opponent for anybody. The guy could have a good match with the Broomstick. He's not, to me, like a 5-star wrestler, but he's just a great hand. And I think that's probably where Frankie Kazarian is seen right now, because they really, like I said, squashed the Elite Hunter gimmick. I think they just see him as a good hand at this point in his career, which is sad. But at the same time, like, not everybody can be on a hot streak. Not everybody can win every match. Not everybody can be the main event talent. And I just want to make sure that I, at least on this podcast, don't go without saying how incredible Frankie Kazarian really is. Naturally, it seems like it comes very naturally to him in the ring. And he's just, like I said, a really good hand and a really good talent for them to have. So, yeah, this match didn't blow me away at all, but it was a nice introduction for anybody who does not watch NXT and didn't see Adam Cole on NXT. Adam Cole can do way better than this. And you know what? I believe Frankie Kazarian could either, or could too, but I just don't think this was necessarily the spot for it. We are getting a trios match on Rampage next week. I think that's going to be the spot for Adam Cole to go off a little bit more, obviously, in a team with the Young Bucks. But we got to that because Adam Cole had a little story time with Adam Cole Bay promo after the match and said that there's 3 guys that have really peed him off so far in AEW, and it is Christian Cage, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. And actually, that's 2 guys and a dinosaur, Adam. Thank you very much. Put some respect on Luchasaurus' name. We put respect on Luchasaurus' name on this podcast here. I don't know why I'm emphasizing my P's a lot right now, but apparently I am. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. There's like little to talk about and analyze that. Just a trios match with the Young Bucks. It's probably going to be great, right? And not to mention all the other amazing talent in that ring. I can't wait, guys. I can't wait till next week. So after that, we had Fuego del Sol and Sammy Guevara backstage being interviewed, and Fuego is putting his car on the line in a match against Miro on Rampage this week for the TNT title. If Fuego del Sol loses, he loses his car. If Miro wins, he loses the title, obviously, or he does not win the title and loses his car. If Miro wins, Miro wins the car and keeps his title. I don't know why me explaining that made it feel way more complicated than it actually is, but you guys get the point. So this is that's out of left field for me, but you know what? I like the idea of it. I like the idea that Miro is just going to look like more of an a-hole for, you know, taking the car from a guy who just got signed a contract, and I don't think Fuego's going to win. Could you imagine, though? Surprise win. Fuego wins the TNT title. And next up, we got MJF. Comes down to the ring with Wardlow and does his MJF thing 2 weeks in a row now. And I think, guys, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. So he talks, obviously, about Brian Pillman. You know, to set up the match with Brian Pillman Jr. coming up next week on Dynamite at Grand Slam. And he refers to Brian Pillman being in hell, not in heaven. He calls New Jersey, or talks about how there's a bunch of skanks in New Jersey. He does his MJF thing that, again, abridged version here tonight, guys. But MJF is so unbelievably talented at what he does. The delivery, I know I put him over every week, it feels like, but the delivery of the cheap heat makes it not cheap. It makes it priceless, really. MJF is a priceless talent right now, and probably for a long, long time. And there's a lot of stuff AEW does to continue to protect his heat. Obviously, he lives the gimmick. He lives the gimmick 24/7. He comes out and does this in every town. I'm excited to see how he's going to be in Long Island. I'm sure they've been in Long Island before. Maybe they haven't, but or back to his hometown. It's Long Island, I think. But yeah, he does this in every town he goes into. It never, for some, I mean, sometimes I'll give him this. Sometimes it does feel a little bit like, all right, come on, you couldn't come up with anything better than just insulting the sports team or whatever. But he just does it in a way that's so much better than your typical, what you'd expect out of just like these little cheap heat jabs. And he goes after, like I said, Brian Pillman Sr. And, you know, obviously everything, just like last week, which he says, he's like, apparently my comments had offended a couple people last week. Yeah, absolutely, man. Incredible. Good. Right? Good. But he's clearly asked, you know, if he's allowed to say this and that or something along these lines. I don't think that any human being is going to be hired who's going to go do that and not run these things by Brian Pillman Jr., of course. And you know what, guys? This feud, obviously, Brian Pillman Jr. comes out with the chair. Wardlow goes to stop him at the ramp, but he outsmarts him, rolls into the ring, you know, takes a swing at MJF, misses, or MJF, you know, begs him off. Wardlow slaps the taste out of Wardlow's mouth. And essentially stands tall, but not really getting his hands on MJF, obviously, and barely even getting his hands on Wardlow. And, you know, this whole thing, these promos the last 2 weeks, or this week and last week, have elevated a little itty-bitty feud. Again, they're not going to go longer than one match, thank God, because I do not need a Chris Jericho-MJF saga with Brian Pillman Jr. and MJF. But this feud is doing so many little things that I guess, like, are important to pay attention to, but we are going to look back on this in like 2 years, maybe, again, God willing, that Brian Pillman Jr. ends up being a success in AEW. Obviously, we hope for everybody to be a success in AEW and wherever they are, pro wrestling or not. But we're going to look back and say, like, it was another straw of hay that was building the bale of hay that is Brian Pillman Jr. I don't know why. I don't think that's a real analogy, but that's what came to my head. It's just another little notch. Yeah, he's probably going to lose at Grand Slam. That's my prediction. MJF's probably going to go over in some kind of cheap way. The match isn't probably going to be 5-star, guys. But MJF is elevating Brian Pillman Jr. for this quick moment, right? And he's probably going to go back into his tag team with Griff Garrison, Varsity Blondes, obviously. But it's going to put a little notch on his belt, and we're going to remember this feud and where Brian Pillman Jr. showed a little bit more character than just outside his tag team, obviously, with Griff. So I'm excited about this. Again, I'm not excited necessarily about the prospect of the match, and I really don't think Brian Pillman Jr. has been coming through my screen at all. I still think he looks uncomfortable in interviews, or he looks like he's playing wrestler, if that makes any sense, rather than like MJF looks like he's just was born for the role that he's playing right now. But yeah, Brian Pillman Jr., maybe it's just the comparison near MJF, but I think even on Rampage and in the last couple weeks or whatever last week, he just seems a little bit more like he's playing wrestler and there's still a lot more growth to get there. I don't know if that's something you can grow into or if it's just like a natural ability you have to have, but I'm hopeful and I'm excited, and I love that MJF, a young talent in AEW, is able to elevate another young talent so immensely by just being MJF and just being a prick. You know, we, like I said, we hit our SHIT quota of the night, so I'm gonna leave it at that. But yeah, I love this. This is probably one of my favorite segments of the entire show once again. So after we had the MJF segment, we had Dante Martin and Matt Sydal versus FTR. Oh, but excuse me, before we got into that match, we did have the quick backstage. I'm trying to hit the major points here, the major matches and stuff, guys, but I did want to mention this. We had Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Marco Stunt, and Christian Cage backstage being interviewed. And Jungle Boy starts talking, right, and says, you know, he something about how he has better friends and better hair. And then Christian Cage, that little son of a gun, cuts him off, says, like, you're wrong. Let that sit there for a minute. There was a weird little pause after that. I just want to throw that out there. And said, you know, Adam Cole's got better friends. They got him out of developmental. Since you're so used to losing the Wednesday Night War, why don't you lose on Friday night too? Or something like that. Again, the way I'm delivering it is not nearly as good as it was, and I'm botching whatever exactly he said. But essentially, Jungle Boy played the baby face that's not going to take a jab back necessarily, or if he's going to take a jab back, it's going to be about his wrestling abilities or his hair or something very minute. Christian Cage just went in, and I saw, like, it's going to be a weird callback, but I'm going to go there with you guys right now because I don't know. It popped into my head. I'm not going to question things. Remember Christian versus Chris Jericho? And I think it was this weird Trish Stratus feud where Chris Jericho and Trish Stratus were dating or kind of dating, and then Christian ended up, I don't know, Christian ended up with her in the end or something along those lines. And the promos that Christian cut, they're just like the, obviously Christian and Chris Jericho were friends, and so the promos that he cut there towards the end were just like undermining, patronizing, and then he just turned full-fledged jerk. And I really, you know, we've been talking about this before, guys. They've been planting the seeds. I think I've been picking them up, but unless I'm just making this stuff up, I'm ready for the Christian Cage heel turn whenever it comes, because I think they've really been planting this carefully. And these little moments, like in this interview, continue to build on that. Here's Jungle Boy, white meat baby face, right? And Christian Cage, who's kind of a little bit of a prick. I mean, don't get me wrong, the jabs were funny, but kind of a little bit of a prick. So, all right. Then we had the, Luchasaurus did say, said something after Christian Cage, of course. He said something along the lines of, ugh! And Marco Stunt just stood there. So that was that. And then we had the match, Dante Martin and Matt Sydal versus FTR. Honestly, guys, I this match inspired an idea on these review shows called the Pee Break Match, and I'm going to call it that, the Pee Break Match, match that you get up and have to go pee in 2 hours for some reason. I don't know. I can hold it. I don't know about you guys. But anyways, I didn't actually go pee during this match, but you don't need to know that. My point being is that this was a nothing match to me, which is crazy considering it's Matt Sydal, who, again, has really grounded his game, but he is still an incredible high flyer, and there's nothing wrong with grounding his game, too. He's a great mat wrestler now, submission wrestler. Dante Martin, who's absolutely just a young talent on the rise. I think Dante Martin is younger than me, and that hurts my feelings. And then we had FTR, who's supposedly one of the best tag teams in the world, and honestly, guys, FTR is just not doing it for me lately. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I come on this show and I try to make excuses for them, or I say, maybe it's this and this or whatever. I feel like they lost a step. And you think about earlier this year, they were on, like, in singles competition and in tag team wrestling, they were, like, on a new form. And I don't make excuses for the Young Bucks. That's all I'm saying. But yes, FTR did get the win with the big rig on Dante Martin. So I will say, too, it was nice to see Dante Martin on Dynamite again. So I will. That's a positive from this. Then we had the Suzuki incident, the Suzuki situation. I like the Suzuki situation. However, it makes him sound like Minoru Suzuki is, like, somehow in Jersey Shore now. Well, they were in Jersey. Anyways, the Suzuki situation. CM Punk, I thought, did a really good job of explaining what was going on. And then we had a promo from Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki. They are going to have a match against Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley next week. Another banger of a match to look forward to. I feel like there's almost too much going on next week. But anyways, it's good to see Lance Archer again. Feel weird saying that. I might take that back. I don't know. I really haven't missed Lance Archer much, but he has, you know what? Lance Archer has been in the back of my mind. Where's the guy been at? Kind of, I know he's obviously was defending the IWGP United States Heavyweight World title. Again, one try, guys. If you don't believe me, try to say that 10 times fast. It is a tongue twister. But yeah, so we're getting that match next week. And like I said, I'm looking forward more to the match itself and the promos we're going to get from Eddie Kingston and Miro. But this was serviceable and good. And for all of you that do not know about the Suzuki incident, the Suzuki situation, Jersey Shore, Suzuki situation. Obviously, last week, Minoru Suzuki had his big part in his entrance that got cut off because, once again, AEW has a timing problem and where it allots enough time and where it does not allot enough time. So it's pretty much that simple. And some guy on Twitter started this whole thing. But, and rightfully so, by the way. Rightfully so. AEW screwed the pooch on that one, but it is not that big a deal. You know, and it sounds like we're going to get a make good on that. So, again, next was one of my favorite segments in the show as well. A lot of good stuff on the show, guys. Malakai Black comes in, does his whole entrance. I've seen a lot of flack for his, like, little outfit or whatever last night. I liked it. I liked his little, like, I don't know. I got, like, Dementor, Demigorgon vibes. I don't know what a Demigorgon is. It sounds like something from Lord of the Rings, and I've never seen that. So, but he says, he starts to talk, but he says, we've got an enemy amongst us. And Rosario Dawson, obviously the actress, is in the front row wearing a Nightmare Family sweatshirt. He comes out of the ring, goes to confront her. This chick, like, walks right through the barricade. So I have to throw hands with Malakai Black, and I could not have been the only one that was thinking, hit her with the black mask, Malakai, just hit her with the black mask. No, I'm kidding. Please don't tweet me, don't at me, I'm just kidding. If she was Brock Anderson, I wouldn't be. But she played her part perfect in this. Obviously, Cody Rhodes in a dashing, no pun intended, in a dashing little suit comes down from the stands. They brawl, but before they brawl, Rosario Dawson jumps on the back of Malakai Black. He puts her down very gently, and they brawl all the way up the stairs. A couple thoughts on this, guys. A couple thoughts. So, Cody Rhodes got a mixed reaction from what I heard. Cody Rhodes is, like, we're all eternally grateful, obviously, for Cody Rhodes and his part in making AEW a thing. However, Cody Rhodes has not been in form in 2021 and kind of late 2020. I don't think that's a subjective opinion. I think that's a pretty widely agreed on thought. However, if you disagree with me, please tweet me. Tweet me on the Twitter, at Mimi Burris. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Cody Rhodes, your thoughts on this whole feud, your thoughts on anything in the professional wrestling world, or whether you prefer pancakes, waffles, or tacos. So, yeah, he's not really been in form this past year and towards at the end of 2020. So, he's almost, like, prophesized his own heel turn, and I don't know if that was the cause or that was the idea, or I doubt it, because, you know, like, I thought going over Anthony Ogogo was really stupid. I thought all the race stuff that he brought into it and, like, America being great, like I'm a proud American, I thought that was really stupid. It just didn't come off well, and I think he's just out of form is the best way to put it, and that's okay. Wrestlers can be out of form for a little while. Bookers can be out of form, not Booker T, just like wrestling bookers, and Malakai Black is, like, red hot right now, red hot. So I really hope Malakai Black goes over. And if he does not go over, I hope it's because Cody Rhodes cheats to get the win, and we start the spiral of the heel turn. That would be ideal for me if he's not going to take another loss to Malakai Black. If Cody Rhodes goes over clean, I'm going to be peed. I think it's like it will be one too many, and I don't need to see Malakai Black 50-50 with Cody Rhodes. What I need to see is him kick Brock Anderson's head off again, but that's a whole nother conversation. So the only other thing I will say about this is, you know, the crowd was super loud, super into this. Again, like I said, really behind Malakai Black from what I heard. But I have a little thing about the wrestling trope that is, I love that word, trope. The wrestling trope. Anyways, the wrestling trope that is the stairway brawl punching thing through the fans. I hate brawling through the fans, and maybe I'd feel differently if I was right there. I probably would, considering, but and I know why they do it. To me, it takes too much suspension of disbelief. Like it never looks good. It never looks good to me. There've been some cool stuff done in the fans area off barricades and off whatever, you know, high off places. Why can't I think of the term right now? Anyways, railings, all that stuff. Like, I'm thinking about Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair on Raw, and the Banks statement in the railing. Like, that was cool, but things like this, just they look like we're trying to get from point A to point B. Like, I'm just trying to get you out of the arena, which, but also not really. And the punches don't look good. And I'm punching you in the back very gently, but we're, it feels very clunky. And I've never been about it. I've never liked brawling amongst the fans. It just doesn't work for me. However, apparently they did brawl all through the entire stadium, so I will give them credit on that end. But I just whistled a little bit when I said that credit. I'm not going to be able to do it again ever in my life. Anyways, after this, we got a video package for the Bunny and Anna Jay. Just happy to see Anna Jade, excuse me, that just to see a women's feud that isn't around the title. If this is where they got to start, guys, this is where they got to start. And you all know how I feel about the Bunny. Still can't get over that. We had a Dark Order interview. Well, really, it was an Anna Jay interview. However, Evil Uno cuts her off right away, says that they're going to be there. The Dark Order fighting amongst each other. If you guys want to hear my thoughts about this whole thing, go listen to last week's review. But yeah, or was it on the highs and lows? I don't know. It was one of the two. Malfunction there for a minute. We are getting to the point where Hangman Page hopefully comes and can be the person who glues the Dark Order back together in a way. I don't mean it like that, but just helps them show them what they're all about or something cute and cheesy like that. I'm incapable of being cute and cheesy. Just ask my fiance. So it's a means to an end. And then next up we had Dan Lambert from American Top Team and the Men of the Year in the ring, and obviously a bunch of other big fighters. Junior Dos Santos is the only one that I knew off the top of my head. Talks all the same stuff about tiny people and women who wear extra large, and you've all heard it before. Same Dan Lambert crap. I really, honestly, guys, I think it's a little much. I think it's a little too shooty for me, if that makes sense. Like, talking about how they're gonna do 450 splashes through like the tables and then kick out at two. I don't like during a wrestling show, like don't tell me that's, I want to be able to enjoy wrestling for what wrestling is, and I play in the sandbox to play in the sandbox. Don't make fun of me for playing in the sandbox. I don't like that. It doesn't hit for me. But it was good to see Ethan Page on my television and on Dynamite. Then we got Chris Jericho and Jake Hager coming out. Essentially, there were a bunch of fat-faced dip word that we're not, we hit our quota on. Chants, singing, and a bunch of other funny chants that Chris Jericho just loving it. We had, I really thought, a nice organic, like, the crowd started singing Judas. It felt to me way more organic than the last time that they did that against MJF. And basically Chris Jericho asks why Lambert's such a grumpy old man, screaming at the AEW clouds, surrounded by meatheads, and he wants to know which one is on top. Big pop for that. Big pop. He basically says he's not afraid to fight MMA fighters. And then we get a match between the Men of the Year and Chris Jericho and Jake Hager next week. Grand Slam again. My fiance was very happy about this one because she is excited to sing Judas in the audience. I am excited to see Ethan Page in a wrestling ring on Dynamite. So I'm glad this finally led somewhere, and it led to a match. That's all I can say. Again, the minute I get on this show, guys, normally 9 times out of 10, it feels like I come on here, and if I'm talking about something, this is dragging. This needs to hurry up. I'm not saying anybody from AEW is listening to this. I'm just saying I think I share a lot of opinions that a lot of other people have. In the AEW fan base of, I don't know why I called it that, fans of AEW, and Dynamite, why am I so messed up today? AEW, Tony Khan, whoever listens to its fans, and I think he gets it, the minute I come on this show and talk about something like this, like last week I was saying how this needs to get to a point already, look where we're at now, we're at a point at least. I don't know, this is not going to be a 5-star classic, I don't think, but it's going to be good, fun, fluff. Good to have Chris Jericho on TV on Dynamite. Good to see Jake Hager again. Like I said, good to see Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. So, and we're getting this in a wrestling ring. So, afterwards, we got a Gun Club promo. They point out how they're undefeated in all combinations. Honestly, if I were Billy Gunn, I would rather just be putting over my sons and stop putting over himself. However, if he can still go, he can still go. But I'm glad this veered away from Big Show. That's all I'll say. And then we had Jade Cargill versus Layla Hirsch. I don't know why I said it like that. I'm 100% sure I knew it was Jade Cargill and Layla Hirsch. It's been a day, guys. It's been a day. This was a good match, but honestly, I was really surprised by how much offense Layla Hirsch got in. And I don't know if that's a good surprise or a bad surprise. Like, Jade Cargill looked out of her element here is my point. And maybe that was the point. Maybe that's what I'm missing. Maybe they're going somewhere with this. But in the end, Jade Cargill gets the win by hitting the Jaded, a.k.a. the Glam Slam. I can't call it anything else other than that, man. Especially now that Beth Phoenix is an ordained minister. So the ordained Glam Slam, if she hit it at least. We get an Andrade promo basically explaining about why he turned on Chavo Guerrero on Rampage, that Chavo Guerrero did something that he didn't say to do that, and he didn't give permission to interfere in the match, and Chavo Guerrero went ahead and hit on Pac in the back with an iPad, and you guys know what happened. And then Taz rolls up with Hook and confronts CM Punk about taking his job on commentary. Punk stands up, takes his little headset off, and then out of nowhere, Powerhouse Hobbs comes out. They all beat him down, and then we get a match between Powerhouse Hobbs and CM Punk on Rampage, if I'm correct. It's too hard to keep up with all these things. Next week, guys, Grand Slam, CM Punk. Again, Powerhouse Hobbs, I'm so excited to see this. And it's so, like, talk about the different dynamics. We're going from Darby Allin, who probably weighs less than I do, and then Powerhouse Hobbs, who probably weighs the same about as my apartment. So I'm so excited to see what the dynamic with Powerhouse Hobbs. I hope Powerhouse Hobbs throws CM Punk around, and then CM Punk has to make just the babyface comeback in the match against the big guy. It will always be a perfect dynamic. Big heel, literal face. Smaller face, big muscular heel guy. And, you know, overcoming the odds, it always works. You think about Great Khali and Rey Mysterio, you know, Big Show, Rey Mysterio, just Rey Mysterio, Undertaker, Rey Mysterio versus anybody. Always works. So, yeah, and then he got a choke slam through the announce table, kind of into the announce table crumpled in a weird way. Anybody else notice that? And that's not important. So we had a video package for the Darby Allin and Sean Spears match. And then we had the match following it. And guys, you know, there was not a lot to talk about here. It was, again, just another solid match for me, guys. Just another solid match. And Darby Allin ended up getting the pinfall with a coffin drop. And it's just another solid match that led to next week's match, which is Tully Blanchard in the corner of FTR versus Sting and Darby Allin. So I really hope, you know, I really hope FTR brings it and proves me wrong from what I've been saying about them just being out of form lately. I like this spot in this match too, though, where Sean Spears went and started wiping the face paint off. I thought that was Sean Spears is more entertaining to me than FTR, and not MJF, but it's just been like, for me, the star out of this non-existent Pinnacle. Why is the Pinnacle not together on television? Why have they not been together on television for how long? There's got to be something in the works here. Maybe I'm missing. I don't know. But the Pinnacle seems like they're not very much on top. They're about as on top as Dan Lambert's American Top Team. So after the match, we had the beatdown, of course. FTR attacked Darby and Sting. Tully Blanchard gets into the ring with Sting, and FTR beat him down, Darby Allin starts to get up, starts to try to get back into it, but Cash Wheeler beats him down again, and FTR hit the spike pile driver on Sting, which looked scary, and then Blanchard wipes his face paint off with a towel as well, so a nice little touch there, and I really did like the beat down, and the spike pile driver by FTR looked great. That was the best thing they've done in weeks, months, at this point, it feels like, so. Then we had Tony Schiavone in the ring introducing Bryan Danielson, obviously after a quick little Bryan Danielson promo. And this guy's probably the highlight of the show. I feel like I've said that 4 or 5 times now. Right as Bryan Danielson gets going on the microphone or starts answering Tony Schiavone, Kenny Omega and Don Callis come down to the ring. Kenny Omega's got his shirt in his mouth and the title out. He looks great. And Don Callis looks so stupid again in that suit. But yeah, they go back and forth, obviously. A lot of SHITs thrown out there. Don Callis basically saying that Bryan Danielson is a hippie millionaire. He says he's listened all week, and Bryan is a sanctimonious SOB. Says that he's claiming he made his decision to come to AEW for the good of the wrestling business, which is true and a really true statement. But Kenny has told him that that's really how Bryan Danielson thinks. So he's probably not a carny POS, but instead he's just a mark like the rest of these people in New Jersey. Bryan Danielson tells him to shut up and says he's here to talk to Kenny Omega. I love how many times he said that too. He says someday this is going to be about the title, but right now it's just about who's a better wrestler and giving the people what they want. Omega versus Danielson. Callis is like, no, it's not going to happen. Bryan Danielson tells him to shut up again. And Kenny Omega says yes, which means guess what's going down at Grand Slam, baby? Kenny Omega versus, sorry for all headphone users, Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson. I jumped out of the bed, chair, I forget where I was exactly when we were watching this, and I was so excited. I was like, announce it. And they announced it right afterwards, obviously, amongst all the other matches. Oh my gosh. Made things even better than I thought they were going to be. We're getting Punk. We're getting Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega, which is on the top of so many people's dream matches again. Obviously, they faced off before, but not like this, guys. Not like this. And I'm just so excited for this. And I thought this segment was great. I thought Bryan Danielson came out looking really good. I need to get myself a white t-shirt, apparently. I think, you know, we ordered our t-shirts off of shopaew.com or aewshop.com, something like that. Free promo, guys. And I'm thinking, you know, we should just go wear white t-shirts because Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson look so freaking good in it. And I'm sure there's some significance I'm not catching, or maybe they just look good in white t-shirts going back and forth. But I'm into this feud. I'm into this match. I'm so excited, you guys. And honestly, like, all analytics aside, I really have not much to analyze here. I'm just a mark. I'm just a fan. I'm just hyped up about this. So, and I'm glad, like, here's the thing, AEW teases something and then delivers it. I never think that that's going to happen. I'm still so trained to think that I'm just going to get screwed over as a fan of a company, which is so crazy if you think about it. No, I get rewarded for being a fan of AEW and paying attention to the details and investing emotionally into this stuff. So, speaking about emotional investment, I have none of this into Matt Hardy cutting a promo about how he's going to cut Orange Cassidy's hair or shave his head or something. And then we get all the hype ups, obviously, about the matches coming next week and the week after that, on Rampage and next week. And then we get our main event, which was 2.0, Jeff Parker and Matt Lee versus Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. Again, guys, just another, like, really feels like a house show match, and I don't know if that's just like a 2.0 quality. I'm glad to see 2.0 in the main event on Dynamite. Who would have thought that? NXT 2.0, first episode this week, and their formerly Everrise, now 2.0, are main eventing Dynamite. So awesome to see for those guys. But this was just a fun match. Fun match. Eddie Kingston and John Moxley win by a pinfall with a half Nelson suplex and lariat combination that they do on Jeff Parker. Post-match, Minoru Suzuki comes out with Lance Archer as well, and all four of them brawl. Moxley hits Suzuki's face with the timekeeper's table. Moxley hits Minoru Suzuki into the timekeeper's cable, sets him up on it. They brawl on the table, but Minoru with the got you lift. Moxley reverses, cracks him in the injured eye with the microphone. Mox chokes Suzuki out and drags him into the crowd to keep brawling as we go off the air. And a great way to go off the air and a great way to lead us into next week, which is none other than Grand Slam, baby. Again, guys, I can't tell you how excited I am for next week. I will give no spoilers away, obviously, with the whole Rampage stuff, because they're taping that beforehand is what it sounds like. But 2 hours of Rampage next week, guys. 2 hours of Dynamite. A fun way to go off the air here, except it was another crowd brawl, but you know how I feel about that. However, it's Minoru Suzuki and John Moxley, so I'm going to say it's great because I'm scared of the both of them. And I'm excited for next week's shows, like I said. And to me, this kind of felt like a go-home show. Really set up a lot of angles for next week. And I feel spoiled for all of it. So great Dynamite, in my opinion. Great setup Dynamite, which still was so fun to watch. Again, a lot of progression, a lot of little story lines, feuds. Obviously, we're coming up on Full Gear in November. They got some time. The big stuff, it feels like the big stuff isn't even coming yet. But however, everything that's coming next week feels huge. So I can't wait to talk to you guys about it next week. And with all of that, guys, hope you have a great rest of your week. I hope, if you're not already, get on a plane, take a walk, hitchhike. Don't do that. That sounds unsafe in 2021. Get an Uber. I don't know. Find a go-kart and drive your way on over to New York and come see me at the Grand Slam show, because it's going to be awesome. So hope you guys, like I said, have a great week, and I will talk to you next time.